We've been now for weeks, and we'll look into the scripture before we pray. We've been looking at 4 weeks at the very ground of our assurance, taking Peter's injunction seriously when he says, make certain about his calling and choosing you. And he'll go on, and we'll look at that probably towards the end of our little series here. But we're looking at the three grounds of our assurance. How do we know that we know? And the first are the promises of God in the scripture, and there's a bunch. And we spent time with about five or six of them. And then we went next to the next ground of our assurance, which is the subjective side, admittedly. This is in Romans 8, and he's talking about the work of the Spirit and how the Spirit helps us to know. It's just all over this chapter. For instance, the Spirit, verse 16, he testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And so there's this inner witness within that is whispering to our spirit. And it's not with words that you can hear, granted, but it's the assurance that we are God's sons. And then as you look at this chapter in that light, you see all kinds of wonderful things opening up. And the Spirit helps us this way, the Spirit helps us there, he speaks this way, he encourages that way, he works this in us, he works that. And all these things are evidences of his work, his presence, and it just means that God has given to us the Spirit of adoption. Now, we're in Romans 8 this evening, and we're looking primarily at two verses here in this chapter, verse 26 and verse 27. And here Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Encouraging verses, aren't they? Well, let's start by asking a couple of questions. Do you know people who possess a confidence, a positive outlook, a can-do attitude? You know, nothing seems to shake them. We'd look at them and we say, there's a strong individual. That guy, that girl has real strength. Sort of like when you're reading Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan and you come across a guy named Greatheart. You remember the character. Or maybe Mr. Valiant for Truth. And you say, oh, to be like those guys. That just sounds, you wonder, did Bunyan know someone like that? Was he writing autobiographically? Was he writing just biographically? Was it someone he was thinking of? Don't know. But we think about people like that, Greatheart and Mr. Valiant for Truth. Or maybe we know those who pretend to that. You know, their act of courage seems just that, it's an act. As if to admit to anything but strength is to admit defeat. Well, they don't want to know what's really going on in my heart. They don't really want to know how weak I am, or I don't want them to know this. And that's something that can plague the church. Well, this is, one of the reasons the Apostle Paul is so refreshing. He is transparently honest. He's even honest about the trouble that he has, about the depression, about the discouragement, about the physical things, about the heaviness he bears in his heart. He tells it, he just shares it with us, doesn't he? Now here's a man, you look at his story all through the New Testament, and you think, well, here's a man that's just beset with weakness. And the truth is, he said so. I'm weak. And he's not ashamed to admit that. In fact, he boasted in that, didn't he? I boast in this. I boast. I glory in my weaknesses. Because, and you could phrase this for yourself, but this is how it struck me today. It's because those very weaknesses helped him to turn from the strength that is natural to lay hold of the strength that is spiritual. And if we don't have that turning towards the Spirit, then we will be trying to do things in the natural, in our own strength, and in our own power. And ashamed to admit that we can't do this or we can't do that. Now, it seems that these are the very issues that he wants us to be comfortable with in our verse tonight. He says, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. He's writing to the entire church at Rome, and every generation and every congregation has found a yea and an amen somehow deep in their spirit as they read that. Yep, he's tapped into the pulse, my weak little thready pulse. He's gotten me nailed. He's describing me to a T, isn't he? Now, if we can't admit this, then he's going to admit it for us. The Spirit helps our weakness. Now, you might be thinking of something, yeah, I'm weak in this, or I'm weak in this area, or this I've got a lot of problem with. Or ask your wife and she'll tell you what you ought to be thinking about. But it's interesting, isn't it, what he names here as our weakness? For instance, he says, the Spirit helps our weakness, or he doesn't say the Spirit helps our weakness because we don't know how to raise the dead, or we don't know how to cure the leper, or the Spirit helps our weakness because we don't know how to open blind eyes, and all of those things are true. But he doesn't say that. What he says, he's getting even closer down to our need. We don't even know how to talk. We don't know how to speak to our Heavenly Father. The Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Now, almost everyone here is a parent. And all of us here have been children. And so we can all relate to this to some extent. There's this effort to teach the child how to speak, and the baby just comes out of the womb making noises. And those have to be shaped and formed into words. The words have to be formed into sentences. Those have to be shaped and formed into paragraphs. And thought is being developed as the child learns to express what's going on. Now, it's not that the parent is ignorant, because, oh, daddy, you know right away what something's wrong. There's been a sentence of two words. I said three, daddy. And you know what's going on. And so it's not like the Heavenly Father is ignorant of what's going on in our heart, but there is the effort to teach us, to bring forth in us the ability to express ourselves to our Heavenly Father. The Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Maybe it would help to say this, and I heard this illustration by a preacher. He said, I decided to get a table kit and put this together while my family is away. And I had the whole house to myself, and I thought, they'll be so pleased to see me come home and they'll see that I've built them this big kitchen table. Lovely. So he gets this kit, and the kit, like all furniture kits, if you've ever done one, it'll have a list. You need these tools. Get a screwdriver, get a hammer, get pliers, get this, that, and the other. You've seen these things? And so he got all this spread out, and he got all the tools organized, and he built this table, and it was on the ground, and the legs were sticking up. And he turned to the last page and says, and now, with the help of a friend, lift this table and turn it up. And he said, why wasn't that on page one, that I'm also going to need a friend? Well, he said he managed and grunted and groaned and somehow managed to right the table, and he never finished the story of what the family thought. But he was making the point that we need the help, not to do it for us, but to help us in the effort. And that's the point that is being made here. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. Now we say, well, sure, he's going to intercede for me with groanings too deep for words, so I don't have to pray. Is that what this is teaching? He helps our weakness. He helps us in the effort. We find ourselves praying, and you may be kind of like me. You may go there with a heart full of love and devotion and ambition, and I'm going to pray for, name your time. I'm going to give it 15 minutes. I'm going to give it half an hour. I'm going to go for an hour this morning. I really need to get through. And after about 7 minutes, you think, I'm out. I'm plumb out of words. I need help. I really, really need help. And this is what Paul is describing. Now, there's three thoughts that came to my mind about the Spirit's help, and we can just go here and there and yon and find something, I think, of what Paul means by this. But look with me first, and we'll go, like we say, here and there. Zechariah chapter 12. This is an interesting prophecy here. It's talking about a bad time coming for Jerusalem, and then a good time is coming. And he says, this is Zechariah 12, verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. Now, on Christian radio this past week, I heard this guy confidently saying that this has not been fulfilled at all, but it will be fulfilled for the Jews. And there's coming a great time when God's going to pour his spirit out upon the Israelis, and they're going to come in mass to Christ, and they're going. And I say, amen, do this, O Lord. I say, grant this indeed. But let me add this thought, that already, and not surreptitiously, but already, not in a corner, God has been doing this already. And you think about what Acts chapter 2 tells, that there's Jerusalem gathered there together for this great feast, and the Spirit of God is poured out, and Peter stands up in the strength of that and preaches this fantastic sermon, well beyond the ability of any seminary there in the Holy Land to teach a man to preach this way. He preaches this way, and suddenly the people of God there that are gathered are pierced to their hearts. And they start crying out, what shall we do? And he just gives them a few basic ideas, doesn't he? Well, you need to repent. You need to be baptized for your sins. There's the idea of calling upon the name of the Lord. Well, what do I say? God help them. God help them. When you came to Christ, what words did you say? Do you remember? Or was something given to you in that moment? Did you express your heart of contrition, of sorrow, and gladness for the Savior, all balled up into one ineloquent sentence, and yet you poured your heart out to God with words that you can't remember now, but you spoke words that now you sit in a church as a son or a daughter of the King, and you bless him for hearing you? Is that not so? That's something of the Spirit's work right there. Praying, as it were, through us, groaning through us, yearning through us. Oh, God, forgive my sin for Christ's sake. Let me have a share in the glory that's to come. Make me your son. And however you prayed this, and whatever words came forth, they're known to God. And he who searches the mind of the Spirit knows what was said there. And this is an example of the Spirit helping us in our weakness. We don't know anything. As we come to Christ as brand new neophyte conversion folks, there, we don't know a thing about prayer. We don't know how to reach up and grab the ear of God, as it were. We don't know how to express ourselves one whit to the Heavenly Father. He prays through us. and that spirit of grace and supplication is given. I love this idea, the spirit of grace and of supplication. Those two go together. God gives you grace, you'll be able to pray. When the Spirit comes and he is granting you that which you do not deserve and that which you do not have, suddenly prayer is possible. Now look with me in Hosea. Let's see if we can find Hosea. It's back to the left of where we are in Zechariah. And chapter 14 talks about Israel returning, and it's the prayer of the backslider here. And this is a prayer for all of God's people all the time. Whenever we find our feet drifting, our interests wavering, and our feet going another direction, and we think, oh, Lord, have I gotten this far? Have I drifted so much? If you were in Ephesus and the letter said to you, do the deeds that you did at first. You've left your first love. You have to think, what did we do? What was it like? And then you'd call to mind the fervency, the ardor, the love, the devotion, the sacrifice, and how it is all easy because you loved the Lord and the things of God. And you think, oh boy, what can I say to God about this? What can I say? Hosea gives us an idea. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. This is verse 1 of chapter 14. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him. Now here we're being actually coached with a prayer. Coached with the very words to share. But this is not just a blueprint that I say these things and like a magic spell it's done. If I say it just right with the right inflections. No. He's giving it sort of like the Lord's Prayer. We have an outline of what to say to God. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria, the world, will not save us. We will not ride on horses, or our tanks, or our military might will not do anything for us. Nor will we say, our God, to the work of our hands. Lord, for in you the orphan finds mercy. Now, those words were inspired by the Spirit, breathed through the prophet Hosea, and we have some sense of how we may come to God when we realize we've gone off to the left or we've gone off to the right, and we're hearing a voice behind us somewhere saying, come back, come back. And we say to God, I don't even know how to approach this subject. I don't even know what to say to God. Well, say this. You can start right here. You can let your own spirit start filling out all the little spaces that are in between these thoughts, these words. You can put your own thought, your own heart, and I pray that you do, into these very thoughts and wishes and say, oh God, make this my prayer. But it's the Spirit who is helping us in our weakness. When we're aware of that, aren't we aware that we are sons and daughters of the King? When we realize he's tugging on my shirt, he's grabbed my lapel, he is arresting my attention, he wants me. Well, that's a lovely thought. He wants me. He wants to have fellowship with me. He wants me to walk with him. He wants me to obey him. He wants me to serve him. He wants to be my friend. Is that a stretch? I don't think the apostles thought so. I think they'd never met a friend like Jesus. And he still, that's just not a first century blessing. That's an every century blessing. And he wants this with his people. And you sense that God is yearning in you. And you think, oh, that must mean that I'm his and he is mine. Well, finally, we'll close with these simple thoughts over in the Gospel of Matthew when we have our Lord's Prayer. This is in Matthew 6, and we've got just a couple of minutes or so before we bow our heads in prayer. But it's good, again, because the people are saying to him, Lord, and you've heard him ask this before, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, John taught his disciples to pray, and we prayed. They had seen him pray, right? They knew how our Lord was a master of this. He could spend all night in prayer. It was just like talking to your friend. Well, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, all right, pray in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, this is verse 9 of chapter 6, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How long did that take to read? Less than a minute? Pray in this way? No, here's an outline. Here are thoughts. Here's a scope. Prayer touches everything. Prayer touches my daily need. Prayer touches my body. Prayer touches my heart, my soul. It touches the kingdom of God. It touches my relationship to Him. I pray for the church. I pray for the lost. I pray for the world. And these are things that take time and effort and labor. And in all of these points, are we not weak? And that's Paul's discovery. And that's Paul's discovery for us. That in these weak places, particularly these things, the most spiritual aspect of our walk with God, we have a helper. The Spirit of Truth, who has come to be one that I can lean upon, who will help me in all of this. Bless His name. Let's pray.